Continuing our studies in 1 Peter, come to chapter 4. Let's read again verse 7. We're going to look at the section from verse 7 to verse 11. Verse 7, "The end of all things is near," says Peter. "Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. I wonder if you, like me, often feel you're trying to do too much. The possibilities in our lives for being busy are endless. I just began to think the other day what they are, and just even for my own life. What are the possibilities for business, for busyness? Let me just tell you what I see them as being from my point of view. Let's start with the family. If you're married, you've got to give them time. Hopefully a romantic meal from time to time, and time in each day. We have to care for those for whom we're responsible. If we've got children, our children, our grandchildren perhaps, our friends' children, sometimes children we've never seen before. We give our children the best opportunities we can, and it takes time and it keeps us busy. If we've got a home to look after, we've got to keep on top of it. The housework, the paperwork, the decoration, maintenance, the garden, the car. Got to look after your car as well. We've got to fit in time for eating, time for sleeping, or at least have some power naps. We've got to fit in time for socializing, time for hobbies. We're busy answering the doorbell, answering the phone, as I was saying with the kids, answering the mobile, answering texts, answering emails, maybe even answering letters. Got to keep abreast of social media, of Facebook perhaps, and on your computer, the latest software updates, the latest YouTube videos of human madness. Got to stay afloat in a world that is full of constantly changing and updating gadgets and technologies. Got to watch what's on television, the best things, the things that are not to be missed, see the latest films, read the books that people are excited about, hear the latest music, follow your team. Keeps you busy. Got to stay in touch with what's happening in the world too, what's on the news, who's who and what's what. Understand a little bit of politics and a little bit of economics. Just got to know stuff. Because after all, if you don't know stuff, you'll be shown up in a pub quiz or when you're watching Pointless or Eggheads. And you've got to help people. You've got to help everyone in need. Hopefully pray for people in need all over the world. And there's so many different prayer notes and so many different sources of information. And we know so much about so many people in need. Keep on top of that. Got to support charities, proliferating charities. There's more and more of them. And missions doing great work all over the world. Got to keep the bank manager happy. Got to find time to take your tablets, feed your addictions. Got to squeeze some time to look after your health, exercise regularly, and make healthy foods. Although the latest news is that someone has produced a drink that's got all the nutrients of food in it, and you can just drink this and you don't need to have meals anymore. So that's a good one. You can be even busier. And you know what I've forgotten? The thing that should actually take up more of your time, or may well take up more of your time than anything else, and that's your job. Have you got time for it? Paid employment can be very demanding, of course, on your time and your resources. And then, what about church? What about getting involved in church? Being committed to it and having the time to serve God through the church and get involved in things that are happening in the community that the church is organizing. And I've missed a lot. I'm sure I've missed a lot because I was too busy to think about it. And we wonder why time is flying by quicker in our generation than for any previous generation. It's because our lives are cluttered. And it's little wonder if people are frazzled. And yet, Peter warns us, verse 7, the end of all things is near. The end of the world could come at any time. But we're busy being busy. I wonder if we're like kids on the beach trying to build the greatest ever sandcastle. And they're really trying to work fast as they can. It's going to be so impressive, this sandcastle, and they rush around frantically trying to finish it. Why are they so keen to get it done? Well, because the tide's coming in. They've got to finish it before the sea engulfs the castle. And then what? Well, then it'll be erased. When the tide recedes, there will be no sign that the sandcastle had ever been there. Was it worth the effort? Is our busyness worth the effort? Running around making sandcastles as the tide rushes in, as the end of all things draws near. Let me ask you this morning, and ask myself, are you a master of life? Or are you mastered by life? Are you a master of life? Or are you mastered by life? We want to be masters of life, don't we? And Peter's key to that is, verse 7, be clear-minded and self-controlled. Be clear-minded and self-controlled. The words there are translated in other versions, the Authorized Version, for example, be sober and watch. English Standard Version, be self-controlled and sober-minded. This is something that Peter says quite a lot. Later on in chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, be self-controlled and alert. Back in chapter 1 and verse 13, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled, he says. Something really important that Peter says that people need. They need to keep their heads. They need to have balance in their lives. They need to have self-control. They need to keep a right perspective. It's about thinking. But it's very difficult to do that when we're multitasking, which is what all I described a minute ago is. When we're trying to do so many things. And of course, people have the illusion that they're good at multitasking, but of course, no one's good at multitasking. We just can't do all that many things at once. The human brain is not wired to do lots of things at once, it just can't. So there's no way that you and I can really be self-controlled and clear-minded, as Peter says here, if we are running around in the melee of trying to keep on top of all the things that I described. So what do? Well, one solution, of course, is to ditch stuff. And we just need to make an inventory of everything that we do and say, well, I don't really need to do that, and I don't need to do that, and we can stroke stuff off. Thing is that people, when they do that, they tend to ditch the wrong things. They tend to ditch their family, for example. Or they ditch the church. But what Peter advises is, instead of just ditching stuff, he says, use your mind. Use your mind. Your mind should be in charge. Be clear-minded and self-controlled. Put your mind in the driving seat. So think about the way you're doing your life. Don't just let it happen to you. Because that's, I think, what most people do. We just let it happen to us. Life just kind of meets us with all its demands, its texts, its emails, its chores to be done in the house, and the people we've got to see, and the job we've got to do. It just comes at us with all these demands, and we just kind of try and respond all the time and get through each day, and our minds are not in the driving seat. We're not masters of life. We're mastered by life. But to be in the driving seat, you need to plan and you need to prioritize. You need to plan, and maybe that means each day you need to sit down before you really get into the day and think, well, what is it that's really important for me to do today? And make sure that that's what you do. Because often we don't do the priority things. We do things, we're busy, but at the end of the day, we're still in a clutter. And we may have managed to keep up with all our Facebook friends, but that's not the important thing. And there may be some really important things that we've left undone. Be self-controlled and be clear-minded, says Peter. There are some things that need to be priorities above everything else, so that you can pray, he says. Prayer is one of the first casualties of clutter in our lives. And so that we can listen to God's word. Verse 11, Peter says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very words of God. How can we be people who speak the very words of God if we don't listen to the very words of God? If we haven't taken time each day to feed upon the words of God? There's some things that will go by the wayside very quickly if the demands of life are in charge of our lives. If, however, we are self-controlled and clear-minded, we can keep the things that are really important as priority in our lives. And I think prayer is a kind of test for Peter here. It's a test of how you're doing in terms of keeping on top of your life, in terms of making sure that you determine what you do rather than everything around you determining what you do. Making sure that you are in charge of how you use your time rather than the demands being in charge of how you use your time. Prayer is a test of this, because it is one of the first things Peter recognizes that gets squeezed out. If you're not clear-minded and self-controlled, prayer is the first thing that goes, says Peter. So how are we doing today? Are we sober? That's another translation of the word self-control there. Are we sober? Or are we inebriated with the demands of life? Inebriated with the housework and the grandchildren and the garden and keeping people happy. Drunk by trying to keep abreast of the latest gadgets and the latest entertainments and the latest gear and the latest gossip? Or are we in charge of our lives? Are we mastering life because we think what's important and we avoid getting cluttered and overwhelmed? Are we sober, clear-minded, self-controlled? What Peter's saying to us is we need to sober up because we're about to meet God. That's what he says. The end of all things is near. We need to sober up. You know, some people, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, they'll say, just hold on a minute, I've got to send another email. Just hold on a minute, you know, I've not finished the housework. They're so absolutely intoxicated with dealing with demands that they've lost sight of what's really important. And we may be talking about Christians here as much as non-Christians. Peter says, look, you're about to meet God. Your life is hurtling by. Be clear-minded and self-controlled and meet him every day, so that when you do meet him, at the end of life, at the end of history, he'll be a familiar figure in your life. So a deep relationship with God, one that's conducted day by day, listening to his word and seeking his face in prayer, is a sign of mastering life. The lack of that relationship is a sign of being mastered by life. Peter says a lot more, and I'm not really going to spend much time on what he says in the rest of this section we're looking at. But all these things are signs of what it's like when your life is in control, when you're in charge, when you're using your mind to plan and prioritize and make sure that the things that are most important are the things that are focused on and not the things that are demanding your attention. For example, love. Verse 8. Love. When we're mastered by life, we only love the people we've got time for. And we don't have time for those whose sins are messy. But love is not something that you just put into your diary for next Thursday. And love is not just something that you bestow on your husband or your children. Love is something for the relationships of with people around you that covers a multitude of sins. And it takes time when there's the messy lives of people around us, lives with sin in them, that make it difficult for us to get on with them. We need to have time for these people. And we need to have time for love. Love takes time. But if we're so busy with the clutter, we won't have time for love. So we need to be self-controlled and we need to be clear-minded. Generosity is another thing. In verse 9, Peter speaks about hospitality without grumbling. Of course, we will grumble if people are making demands on our hospitality or on our generosity, and we're so busy and frazzled out because we're trying to meet all the demands of life that we don't really have time to be generous or to be hospitable. Generosity takes time, and you've got to create that time by getting rid of the clutter. Spiritual self-awareness is another sign of mastering life. Love, generosity, spiritual self-awareness. In verse 10, each one should use whatever gifts he's received. Well, you've got to take time to think about what gifts you have. And if we're in a spin in our lives, we lose our self-awareness. We lose sight of who we are. We lose sight of what God's given us and the gifts that we have in our lives. I know that recently this was happening in my own life. There was just so much on. And I found myself particularly, I said, Roddy, you are losing focus on why you're here in Kyle as a minister. You're here to tell people about Jesus. And that's why you're here. You're not here to administer buildings. You're not here just to be running around organizing things. You're here to tell people about Jesus. That's what your gifts are. And I went to visit someone, and it was one of these wonderful occasions where just God was there, and we talked, and he shared some stuff, and I knew that there was more going on in his life. And just God gave us a time where we really just hit the nail on the head and just were able to point to what was really the trouble in his life and see God working in that life. And I came away thinking, yeah, that's what it's about. That's what ministry is about. Ministry is about people. It's about love. It's about generosity. It's about being aware of God. It's about listening to God. It's about seeking God. It's about lives being changed, lives being delivered. It's not about answering the clamoring demands of emails, for example. Emails are a nightmare. They just keep coming. And so on. You've got to keep on top of these things. God gives us gifts. That's what it says here. And there's lots of gifts described in the Bible that God gives to people. There's a few of them here described in this passage about just speaking and serving. But if you look through the Bible, particularly Paul has a lot to say about gifts. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4 verse 11. God gives us gifts of evangelism, pastoring, teaching, speaking God's word, serving, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy, the gift of being married, the gift of being single, that's 1 Corinthians 7, the gift of helping, the gift of administration. You know, I'm thankful someone else has got the gift of administration. For example, Ian's brother James just now has taken a huge weight off my shoulders by taking on all the stuff to do with buildings in Arnisdale and Glenelg and Glenshiel. He's doing it for me because he's got an amazing gift of administration that would have sunk me out of sight trying to do all that stuff as well as everything else. But God's given him a gift and he's using it. Praise God. Gift of bringing God's healing, the gift of wisdom, the gift of faith, the gift of knowledge, the gift of discernment. It's all there. There are lots of gifts and each one of you has some of them. But if you're busy with clutter, you won't be aware of your gifts and how to use them. Serving is very important. Verse 11, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Now, the people who serve best in the Church of Christ, in our community here, are the people who are least cluttered by their own entertainments and amusements and so on. The people who serve are the people who give time and prioritize their time for others and know the strength then God provides. But if you're to ask, well, what is life really all about? If we really master life and we have love and generosity and spiritual self-awareness, awareness of our gifts, and we use our gifts and we serve with our gifts, what's it really all about? And the answer really is at the end of verse 11 there, where Peter says, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Life is really all about glorifying God. That's what it's really about. And when we're busy trying to build a sandcastle while the tide is surging in, we've lost sight of that. When we're busy trying to service all the clutter and all the instant demands of modern life, when we're absolutely overwhelmed trying to meet all the different areas of need in our lives and all the different areas of demand, maybe we lose sight of the fact that life is about glorifying God. Now, we're all going to be reminded of it very forcefully. You and I are all going to be really, really woken up to this fact when the tide comes in. Because our nicely manicured gardens and our beautifully kept homes and the shrine of our television in the corner of the room and the shrine of the computer on our work desk and everything that we are busy at, it's all going to be swept away. It's all going to be removed. It's all going to be gone, just like the sandcastle when the tide goes out again. You can't see anything to show that that sandcastle had ever been there. None of us is going to be regretful when the tide comes in, when the end of things which is near finally comes. None of us is going to be regretful that we didn't spend more time doing Facebook. None of us is going to wish that we'd spent more time answering our emails or gossiping on the phone. None of us is going to be wishing we'd done that. We're all going to be wishing that we'd been self-controlled, clear-minded, sober and alert, as Peter says, and that we'd built our relationship with God. Because when the tide of God's end comes to our lives, there are one or two things that will stand, that will last. Our relationship with God will remain and will be transformed unimaginably and gloriously. Our character will remain and be transformed. John says this, he says, the world and its desires, they're passing away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. If we take the time that Peter's indicating here to really prioritise what's important in our lives, then that which is important and that which we give our time to that is important, serving God, glorifying God, loving, showing hospitality, these things will not be taken away from us. We have that from the lips of Jesus. Martha was the one that was rushing around like a headless chicken, trying to do everything. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and she had chosen the good part that will not be taken away, says Jesus. So we need to make sure that we're not mastered by life, like Danny, when I was speaking to the kids, mastered by his mobile phone. We need to make sure that we master life. And to do that, we need to be self-controlled, and we need to be clear-minded, and we need to make sure that we plan and prioritise in such a way that God does not get squeezed out, but that he is central and at the heart of what we do, so that we have time for love, time for generosity, time for hospitality, time for knowing what our gifts are and using our gifts, time for serving, time to bring glory to God, because the end of all things is near.